an 8 out of 10. We'll do it again sometime. Anyone else?
315 in the old.
315 in the old. Nearer, still nearer. We'll sing the first and last.
Nearer, still nearer.
I was asked by some young persons if we could sing happy birthday to some people. And I got caught in a conversation. We couldn't accomplish it till now. I wonder if we can roll out a chord. Blade is 11 years old as of yesterday. Is that right? And Mrs. Dubs is how old since yesterday? And Doug Hansen, is it also your birthday?
30.
Talking half lives here. Could you three stand, please, if you're willing? I mean, for the birthday boys and girls. And Blade, we'll sing happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday. And also congratulations to Brother Hansen on completing his labors as a pilot for Southwestern as of this last week. Is that right? Retired. We didn't take much time for our testimony. Does anybody have a testimony before we look at this scripture? If I could give one, as we were up here talking after the service, I don't know the exact number. I probably Googled to get the number I did get, that there are 6,500 different languages in the world. Paul said, if I could speak them all, and the language of angels, and the language of angels is forbidden to be spoken here. What is their language like? Anyway, God, I had about five thoughts. One was, God could cause any of us to know any of those 6,500 languages, right? Don't we see that the day of Pentecost, people were speaking languages they didn't know previously? What talent does God, and another thing is God knows them all. He knows all 6,500 languages. That's impressive. What a mind he must have. But it's much more than that. He also knows all languages potentially that don't exist. And whatever that means, I'm not sure. But he also is able to put any language in anybody's mind. And even behind that, he made the mind which can comprehend language at all. Oh, we have a great, great God. The other week we were talking about how great our God is as a creator, as spoken by the stars in heaven. And we noted that there's this one great star called something dog. What is it? Great dog? Big dog? Big dog, is that it? I mean, it's different. It's in Latin, but that's the idea. Something canine. Anyway, how many Earths could fit inside that one star? 7 quadrillion. Not 7 trillion, but quadrillion. That's 7,000 trillion star Earths could fit into that one. That's how big that one planet is. I'll tell you, we have a great God. But that does not mean that our life being reconciled to God is one of unimpeded, unbroken bliss. This is the beginning of our talk. We covered this last week, so I'm going to start with a review and then we'll go on from there. We've been talking about the law and lawlessness. And the question we asked was, how can heaviness and sorrow be part of the Christian life? Because there we have Paul saying, and he underlines this about five different ways. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. It's like five layers of assurances. Listen, I know this may sound weird, but I'm telling you the truth. What is it, Paul? You teach about the liberty in Christ and the joy of salvation. He said, the truth is, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And we began the topic last time with asking, how could that be? Help me out, friends. How can a person be walking in the Spirit, have a soul saved, and all the things that Paul has taken up to the third heaven and seen the resurrected Christ, and still have great heaviness and continual sorrow in the heart? How can that be? Somebody explain it. Vince? Yes. As a matter of fact, was not Jesus a man of sorrows and acquainted with
grief?
So it's apparently something that a sinless Son of God can experience, and we could also experience it. It's not an abnegation of our faith to say there's a mixture of things going on in this time. Anybody know what the topic is in Romans chapter 9? To what is Paul referring? Alex? Right. His heart's desire and prayer to God is for their salvation. He says, how can I not be grieved when my own fellow Jews don't believe in Christ? I'm supposed to be, you know, skipping in the lilies here and have no sense of an eternity of hell before them and resistance to the Holy Spirit in this age. And so there are layers, is what we're saying. And why did we bring up that question? Because it's related to lawlessness. Part of the answer is, that's the application. So we'll read Romans 9, 1 and 2 and pray. And then I'm going to review fairly quickly what we covered last time for the sake of those who weren't here. And then we'll go on to the new questions. So would you read this with me, please, as it's up on the screen? Romans 9, 1 and 2. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Father, we thank you so much for this regathering this afternoon. We've had lunch and we could tire in time here, but you can make us alert and attentive and make this to be a profitable hour by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the same Spirit that moved along the face of the earth at the time of creation, right here in our midst, leading us to comprehend more and to enjoy the Word of God and all this truth. Lead us to be a profitable time for all, for thy glory. In Christ's name, amen. So how does a person get the great heaviness and continual sorrow of heart, which Paul describes? Here's our answers. I'm going to review these quickly. We covered this last week. A degree of it is just part of being a human being. Human experience in a fallen world. Don't we read in Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. Do you know what we're talking about there? Be afflicted and mourn and weep, James says. This is part of wisdom, James says. James 4, verse 9. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Again, the question one preacher was once asked, why is Jesus not described as smiling or laughing in all the Gospels? And we don't know. It's just presumptuous. But one person gave the answer. He knew too much. Psalm 137. What's the gist of Psalm 137? There they are by the rivers of Babylon. And it's basically a POW camp. They've been taken captive, the Jews have, and they're up there in Babylon. And the Babylonians are saying, play us a song. Give us a tune. Sort of like the concentration camp where there were those musicians who would play while their fellow Jews were being taken to the place of death. And anyway, Psalm 137, these people respond, how can we sing a song of mirth in such a time as this? So they hung their musical instruments on the tree, on the willow. They said, can't do it. No, there's a painful part of the human experience that's not to be ignored. Also, a person must examine the situation with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, for certain realities become more clear as we have developed in us the mind of Christ. It is a struggle to go in godliness. It's not all just happiness, because the closer you get to the light, the more all that is not light becomes shadow within you. There's a growth towards godliness that involves a strain and a wrestling and an agonizing with the Lord. It's a good thing, but it's a true thing. So, you all know these feelings. I had several people last week afterwards say, been there. We may have that feeling concerning ourselves, in our families, in our church, in our community, in our country, concerning our world. What does the Bible say about iniquity? The Bible says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but what? Sin is a reproach to any people. How can you be in a nation that's so far forsaken the things of God and be blithe and light and happy and simple? There's a side of that deep, abiding joy, but there's also the reality of what we understand here. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. So, we made an application to our current situation in America. We're observing a time when a man sworn to uphold the laws of our land minimizes, undermines, circumvents, and ignores those very laws at his will. Concerning his refusal to enforce, consider this, refusal to enforce immigration laws, marriage act, religious liberty where you don't have to distribute or sell over the counter abortifacients, voting booth standards, and on the list goes. We also looked at the family briefly, alleged millions of dollars gained through influence, peddling, and the rest. But this low regard for law is what the Bible calls iniquity. That's what iniquity is. It's lawlessness. And oh, how God hates it. God hates iniquity. It's seen in how he judged it in Judah. Ezekiel chapter 4, he says, I'm going to starve you to death. Why? For your iniquity. We read, and this is Jeremiah, I believe, everyone for his, no, it's still Ezekiel. Swords without, pestilence, famine within. He that's in the field shall die with the sword. He that's in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountain like doves of the valleys all the morning, everyone for his, this is it. It's the iniquity which is judged. They shall cast their silver in the streets, their gold shall be removed, their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. Ezekiel 7:19. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put their stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Shall I be inquired of at all by them? We define iniquity. It is an ignorance, eluding, disregard, or unwillingness to submit to that which is declared to be right. It is unloving opposition to truth. In a word, iniquity is lawlessness. We talked about the nature of iniquity. We said it's not something strange, but is natural to man. Behold, David says, I was shapen in iniquity. Iniquity was like the embryonic fluid. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Man drinketh iniquity like water. Iniquity is not some strange thing which visits some people like a rare disease. It's natural to man. Secondly, we saw it precedes other bad things. First, there's iniquity, and it becomes this, becomes this, becomes this. They plow iniquity, sow wickedness. They sow iniquity, reap vanity. And it progresses and it dominates. You yield your members' servants to iniquity unto iniquity. One thing leads to another, leads to another. Psalm 40, verse 12, my iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Ezra 9:6, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our heads and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. We're drowning in iniquity, he's saying. And we read in Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins. Ah, sinful nation, Isaiah writes, a people laden with iniquity. Their feet run to evil and their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Oh, what did Peter say to Simon the magician? I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And we read in 2 Thessalonians, The mystery of iniquity already is at work in amongst us. Only he that now letteth and restrains will let until he be taken out of the way. Other features of iniquity, to complete our review, it deceives people so they are unaware of their offense. It shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? What is our iniquity? And what is our sin that we've committed against the Lord? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept thy law. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. So iniquity deceives people. They don't even know where they're offending God. Fifth, it can be passed from generation to generation, visiting iniquity from the third and fourth generation. It has limits set by God. God says of this nation, their cup of iniquity is almost full. The cup of this one is full. Judgment there. This one has yet a distance to go. But God has limits. It says, thus far and no farther. So in review, what's the nature of iniquity? It is natural to man. It precedes other bad things. You let iniquity go wild in the streets of Sioux Falls, it's going to affect the person in this store and in that business and preparing these food and these caretakers. It has a way of webbing through the whole culture. One leads to another, leads to another. Progresses, dominates, deceives people so they are unaware of their offense. It can be passed from generation to generation. It has limits set by God. Now, this is the new stuff. What are the consequences of iniquity? And then examples, then we'll talk remedy. One consequence of having iniquity in a culture is deterioration. Think of it this way, Ezekiel 28:15, I think that the devil is being addressed here. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Look at the degree of transformation of that glorious archangel and all of his wonder and beauty down into the loathsome devil that he is today. And you see the degree of deterioration that can occur for somebody who dalliances with iniquity. A second effect is cold hearts. When iniquity abounds, what happens? Matthew 24, right? What happens when iniquity abounds? Love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24 is about the end of the world. When that kind of rejection, this jettisoning of God, God's not in the picture. We're not going to consult God for our values. Every man to his own values. Let's have equity. Let's have inclusiveness. Let's have all those other words. You encourage lawlessness. When it abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Empty money is a third impact. Judas is 20 pieces of silver, the reward of iniquity. He didn't even want it after that. It led to something where he could not appreciate it. Famine is a consequence. They shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread, I mean lack bread and water, and be astonished one with another and consume away for their iniquity. God measures a culture, a city, a community by its respect for universal laws. And we don't have respect for it. It is iniquity. And as that increases, it gets to a point where God says, that's the end of that culture. Cup of iniquity is full. God's wrath is linked to it. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. God hates iniquity. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Matthew 7:23, and I will profess unto them, Jesus, when he says, they'll come to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name, all these miracles? And he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Who does iniquity is cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. God hates iniquity. Let's take some examples. Withholding information that should be shared in Old Testament law is called iniquity. Leviticus 5, verse 1. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen it or known of it, if he do not utter it, in other words, you know a crime was committed and you could testify of it, but you don't speak, you're a participant in the crime, and that's called iniquity. He shall bear his iniquity, withholding information that should be shared. Secondly, not following rules for an acceptable peace offering. Leviticus 7:18. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth it shall bear his iniquity. Okay, these are Jewish laws. We'll make application to our day. Not following cleanliness laws. Leviticus 17:16. If he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. Moral impurity. Leviticus 18, starting with verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Oh, God hates iniquity. Coveting of forbidden things. Did not Achan commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Number 6, not restraining wickedness in one's family. 1 Samuel 3:13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Who is he speaking of here?
Eli.
That's right, Eli and his sons. His sons were committing sin. He didn't restrain them. He knew their iniquity. Stubbornness is iniquity. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, serving a false god. We're just about done here at this area. Disrespect for authority is iniquity. Abigail fell at his feet, at David's feet, and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be." Of course, she's speaking of her husband, Nabal, which means fool, who was disrespectful to David, and she calls it iniquity. A national resistance to the will of God is called iniquity in the Bible. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. That's how God is describing the history of his chosen people. How many years of iniquity? How many years of iniquity? Religious inconsistency is called iniquity. Matthew 23:28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So let me just review what we've stepped through here. We're saying iniquity is a disregard for the standards of God. Going the way of man, going the way of our flesh, doing what we want to do, defining right or wrong, or just ignoring the whole question of right or wrong, and we become a lawless people. That is iniquity. Some examples are withholding information, not following rules that make for peace, not following cleanliness laws, moral impurity, coveting forbidden things, not restraining wickedness in the family, stubbornness, disrespect for authority, national resistance to God's will, religious inconsistency. Well, let's move on to the remedy. This is how our Savior is characterized. No iniquity. Malachi 2:6. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. God sent a Savior with no iniquity. This Savior gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 3, the punishment of all our iniquity was laid on him. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own. That's iniquity. Every time you and I go our own way, don't consult God, don't care what the standard of God is, or ignorant of what the standard of God is, follow our culture, entertained by what they do, which is lawless, whatever way it is, all the iniquity of our entire life was laid on our substitute. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. 4, God will remember no more the iniquities of those who put their trust in the Savior. Isn't this good news? Isn't this amazing? Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, come to Christ. Lay all your sins upon him. God judges all of our iniquities in that substitute, and we are healed. God will remember no more all the iniquities we've ever committed. So what is our responsibility? 1, cry out to God to blot out all our iniquities. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Psalm 51. Thought to be written by David at the time of his immorality with Bathsheba. 2, having named the name of Christ. This should characterize your life now. Are you redeemed? Has all your iniquity been washed away? Then depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let it not be once named among you. Have a higher yet regard for the standards and the ways and the truths and the laws of God. 2 Timothy 2:19. 3, look to God for liberation from the power of iniquity. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Micah 7:19. He's the conqueror, and he can subdue, defeat, liberate us from our inclination towards lawlessness. So confess the iniquities also of our forefathers. I've given a message on that before. I think it's a very important discipline to learn. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. See, they're recognizing the lawlessness of the former generations, not speaking disrespectfully of them, but recognizing how a certain attitude towards the standards of God has been passed on from generation to generation. That's the way our fathers were. They understood not the wonders, thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea. We have committed iniquity, he said. We have done wickedly, as our fathers. 5, separate ourselves from the workers of iniquity. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. Psalm 59:2. 6, warn people. Are we not in AC? What started out this discussion is that we went to Judges chapter 17, where what was the way of the people? Every man, there was no king in the land. Every man did what? That which was right in his own eyes. That's exactly where we're headed, isn't it? Don't judge these people. Allow this to stand. If this person thinks he is this or she is that, confirm it. Don't step in their way. Everybody do according to their own perceptions and their own desires. That's exactly what doing things in your own eyes, what iniquity is. What should we do if we live in such an age? Warn people. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. God says to Ezekiel 3:18. Now I understand a different age and a particular calling, but the general truth applies, don't you think? Are we to have nothing to say? I have no response, no declaration of the way out of, no standing for the truth of God? Christian brothers and sisters, the iniquity in the White House, our land, our churches, ourselves, must be our burden. We must cry to God to blot out our iniquities, depart from iniquity, look to God for liberty, confess the iniquities of our forefathers, separate from workers of iniquity, and warn others. That's what we do in this age. That's the life we should be living as we leave here and go out back to our communities and our people and our world. Oh, how love I thy law. You see how that's just the opposite of iniquity? I do not reject, I do not resist, I do not maintain ignorance of, but I love and I embrace in such a way I'm thinking on all the day long. It is my meditation all the day. Yes, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Psalm 119, 113. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Psalm 119, 163. May we pray. Oh Lord, if we do live in an iniquitous time, not by judging any particular individual, but just being discerners of the day, knowing, understanding the times, how can we have a light heart when there is resistance against God and a calling down of judgment because of the iniquity of our peoples? Oh God, forgive us for any previously unconfessed iniquity or any continuing iniquity in our hearts now. And we pray that we would see with clarity that all our iniquities were laid upon Christ. May we be faithful to this gospel in declaring it to others. May we rejoice, though even for a season there's a heaviness in our heart living in the country and the world that we do and knowing our own history. May we rejoice that Christ died for all of our sins and there is freedom from judgment and hope for eternity. God, teach us how to live wisely in this age. For thy glory in Christ. Amen. Thank you.